Last Sunday, I preached from Philippians chapter 3, and again, this Sunday from chapter 3, the first two verses I started with last Sunday. This is to know Christ's power, and to know Christ's power is everything in our lives. So if you'll turn with me, or look on the screen, to these two verses, Philippians chapter 3, verses 10 and 11. Verse 10 says, Paul says, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his blessings, being conformed to his death. Why? He answers that by saying, in order that I may obtain the resurrection from the dead. Two powerful verses here as we look in Philippians chapter 3. And as I thought about this particular scripture and message this morning, I wanted to focus on our goals for this year. And if we could just focus on the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ and how that can impact our lives all year long, as last week, putting those things that were in our lives or affected our lives or distracted us in lives, like Paul says, put it behind and moving forward to the mark of the high calling of Christ in my life, then we would be more focused and understand the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ in our life. But also, as we see this, there's too many Christians that get wrapped up in things. And Paul mentions that here in verse 19. And I'll talk about that in a few minutes. And they lose the joy and the peace that they ought to have in Christ. In verse 19, Paul says, they set their minds on earthly things. Of course, I didn't read verse 19, but if we did, that's what Paul says. They set their minds on earthly things and lack the spiritual mind of a dedicated believer. So we don't want to get wrapped up in things of this world, because things are temporarily, and they don't enhance our spiritual life always. So the word things, as I read the whole chapter of chapter 3, I just noticed that things is mentioned 8 times in this one chapter. Things, 8 times in this chapter. Now, if it was only mentioned once, that should be enough for us, right? But Paul mentions it 8 times. You imagine that. Paul describes the mind that thinks God's thoughts and directs God's goals. Now, Paul also describes the Christian life and the mindset that we ought to focus on Christ. That's why he says, I want to know him. Know who? Christ. See, Christianity isn't it. It's Christ. And that's what Paul is pointing out here. It's, you know, it's the difference between us and world religions. Here, Paul is pointing out that the world is about rules. You think about it. The world has rules. Well, the Bible talks about relationships. See, we have relationships with one another because we know one another. And we just don't know, but we spend time with each other and we get to know one another, just like husband and wives. They spend years and years together and they get to know one another. They get to know the ins and the outs, right? Whether they're good or they're bad. And that depends upon how you build that relationship, isn't it? If you really want to make it work, you'll work it out. You'll stick with it. You work through those details, ups and the downs. You're building a relationship that will last eternally. And that's what Christ wants in our life. So, this proves a most scary point. As I was thinking about this passage of Scripture, it really proves a scary point. It's very possible to know about Christ and not know Christ. Bear with me now. Stick with me here. Many know about historical Jesus. We read about Jesus, but a lot of people do not know the personal Jesus, and that's a difference. We just don't know the personal Jesus. Now, let's look at knowing Christ personally. How many of you were saved later in life? How many of you were? Well, most of you served. Well, I see one hand later in life. Most of you were probably saved when you were very young. And you probably knew about Jesus before you were born again, but now you know him, that he is real in your life. How many of you know Donald Trump, our incoming president? We know. We know. If you don't know him, would you like to? You probably know about him, and you probably know simple facts about him. You probably know where he was born. Well, hold on now. I don't know. Do you know where he was born? What he does? Well, wait a minute. We know that he's a business person. And really, that's not the best illustration, because we see him on TV in the physical things of life, but we haven't probably met him personally, have we? We know about him. So you know about him, but unless you meet him, you don't know him personally. You get where I'm going here? Now, second point I want us to ponder here. You know Christ personally, but not know him intimately. You see, there's a difference in knowing someone personally and knowing them intimately. Now, this is where Paul stands out. He really stands out here in this chapter. This is a prison epistle. You think about it. Paul is in prison. And Paul wrote this from jail in Rome, awaiting his execution. And he knew that was coming. That's why he writes what he does, inspired by the Holy Spirit, preparing people and giving them understanding. You know, I'm on my way out of this world. But you know, I'm not going out of this world without you knowing what I know about Jesus Christ. Here he is at the end of his life, and he has an intense desire to know Christ more intimately. You know, there's a song we often sing, more, more about Jesus, more of his power, and all, you know, as the song goes. Then Peter says, in 2 Peter 3:18, I quote this quite often because I like this verse, and I read it and I think about this verse quite often as I study the Word of God. As I'm studying the Word of God, I'm often thinking about this verse. I need to grow in grace. You and I need to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We need to know more about Jesus' grace. We need to know about the knowledge and understanding of who he is, not only as Savior, but Lord of our life. There's a big difference there. See, we get to know him better through his word, through prayer, and choosing to walk this life with him hand in hand. Evangelists I used to know. And I might have shared this with you before, but he got saved in later life, became an evangelist. And he was a farmer, betrayed, and become evangelist. And people often when he got saved, you know, he was all sold out. He's kind of like Paul. And he would walk around out in the open with his hand up in the air. And people say, "What in the world are you doing?" He said, "The Lord is leading me by my hand because I cannot go in this world by myself." He also said, when he started greeting people as an evangelist, when they stuck out their hand, he would shake one finger at a time. You get that? He was a farmer. He milked cows, so he shook one finger at a time. That's who he was. So he wanted to get to know people more and more intimately. You see, we get to know people. We need to get to know the Lord Jesus Christ through the Word of God, through the Bible, through prayer, and through choosing to walk to Him by hand in hand. So it's been a privilege of mine to know Jesus Christ for 53 years now. 53 years. But it's sorrow. It's in sorrow, loss, and suffering that I have come to know Him best as my comforter. It's in times that I've found Him as my provider. It's in persecution I've learned He's my friend that sticks closer to me than a brother. And I've experienced all of these things. What about you? I can testify what I'm saying here. It's in times of an attack that I come to appreciate Him as my defender. You know, sometimes we want to retaliate or something, but the Bible says, "Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord." So we leave all of those things up to Him. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for they shall find the kingdom of God. See, in times of distress, He's been my deliverer. He delivers us from hardship and things in life. So I feel I'm only touched the hem of His garment of what it means for me to know Him intimately. I've only touched the hem of His garment, I feel. Then secondly, we need to know Him, His power. Knowing Christ is powerful. Power in the Greek is dynamis. It means like a stick of dynamite. It explodes. It's powerful. So after we're born again, we begin the process of learning how weak we really are and how powerful God is. After we get saved, we want to realize, and that's why Paul says, "When I am weak, I am strong in the Lord." He says that, talking about the thorn in the flesh. When I'm weak, I am strong in the Lord. You see, we find out that we cannot overcome temptation in our own strength, deal with the stresses of life by ourselves. Can you do it? I can't. I cannot. I don't even want to try. When I'm feeling distressed, weary, or filled with hardships or disappointments, failures, or whatever it might be, the first person I go to is to the Lord because I need strength. I know He's my comforter. I know that He can deliver me from anything in my life. You see, we live in an age of great power and technology, and we are pretty proud of ourselves, aren't we? We are. In verse 10, it says, "Power of His resurrection." That's the power that we have, the power of His resurrection. It is ours as Christians. Now, NASA rockets have millions of pounds of thrust. Very powerful. And the amazing crawlers that that moved the rockets out from where they're made there at NASA out to the launching pad gets about 35 feet per gallon. Each of our submarines, which carry hundreds of times more nuclear power than that was dropped on Japan, and yet, compared to the power of God, a NASA rocket is a paper airplane, and a nuclear missile is like a BB gun to the power of God. It really is. That kind of power is what is called the resurrection power. And we think of God's power at creation, just to speak the world into existence. You think about that. That's power, just speaking the world into existence. With all of that scientific knowledge, we can't even study our own sun well enough to know that the extent of its power, and yet it's just trillions of suns that all came into existence, in their orbits and in their planes, with planets and moons, perfect balance in an instant. That's power. Power of God. And we read about God's power in judgment. As he stood toe-to-toe against the false gods, the false prophets of Egypt, Jehovah God reigned victorious as he rained down the judgment who opposed him. You see, that's power. And we read about the power of the virgin birth. For a perfect son to be brought into this world without need of any earthly dad. But Paul didn't say that I might know his power of judgment or power of virgin birth or the power of creation. But he said the power of his resurrection. That's what Paul's saying. I want to know the power of his resurrection. See, there's a big difference of knowing a lot of other things, but you see the power that he had over everything else that existed, the power the Heavenly Father gave him and raised him from the dead. That's the power of the resurrection. See, it's the greatest display of God's power that there has ever was. Even creation of the universe, the resurrection power is a power over sin and death. He conquered that, which are the strongest foes that has ever existed in creation. Now, we often sing, "Up from a grave hill rose, a mighty triumph over his foes." We often sing that. Paul said, I need access to that kind of power. That's what he's saying. I need that access. We need that in our lives. I need to plug into that power source. And when we plug into that power source, then we will better understand what Paul is talking about, the power of his resurrection. Why? Because Paul knew that the man cannot control an entire ship without a small rudder. You ever tried to do that? A small boat. You get in a stream, you'll go with the flow unless you got some kind of ability to steer it in the direction you want it to go. Today, we got a rover on Mars and cruise around on the surface. But we can't guide our own families in our own houses without the power of God. You think about that. We have learned how to cure a lot of diseases, and a lot of them we haven't. But we can't keep our own mind from sin. We need help, don't we? We need God's power to help us there. I was thinking about power in relation to what we see as far as electricity and things that we have access to our flipping a switch on and so forth. And I meet with the Association of Pastors and Leaders once a month here. And I was thinking, imagine I walk into the Lafayette Baptist Association. We meet down here in Family Life Center. And the room is dark. And I say, anyone here? Yeah, Pastor Mike. We're all here. We're ready to start. And I say, but it's dark in here. Yes. And we're having trouble seeing our notes. Is the power out? And they say, no. Are there good bulbs in the sockets? I think there would be. And they say, yes. Is the switch broken? We don't know. Well, let me try it. So I go over and I flip a switch. It works. They say, and that's why you're our leader. Well, isn't that ridiculous? A situation. And it's the one we find ourselves in as weak human beings who don't make the simple step of deciding to flip the switch of God's power on in our life. It's simple as that. You know, it's dark in my life. I can't see far into the future. I can't see far into my life. I don't know which direction to go. And Paul said, you can know him. And you can know the power of his resurrection. And all you got to do is flip the power of the Holy Spirit on in your life. That's how we know. Well, knowing Christ is be painful as well. Verse 10 says, the fellowship of his suffering. Now, suffering is painful, isn't it? You have experienced physical things as surgery and other elements that come through our bodies and want to kind of take over. It's painful. And the reason I'm pointing out verse 10 is because Jesus suffered for the sins of the world. They was painful for him. Things were painful for us today. Now, in Isaiah 53:3, it says, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, and acquainted with grief. See, Jesus knew pain, didn't he? He knew pain, just like you and I. See, emotional pain of rejection by his own people. Jesus, he came to save. His own disciples forsook him. Pain of slander, as they called him, you know, illegitimate. A drunk who was demon-possessed. They said all of these things about Jesus. It hurts to be lied about. Has anybody of you, have you ever been lied about? Anybody accuse you falsely? It hurts, doesn't it? It really does. And Jesus lived his whole life under that cloud. See, Jesus knew the physical pain and not just the cross. We forget about how much or how worse every pain of life was the simple fact that he lived in a sinless body. He lived sinless. And you see, sin has a dulling effect on us and desensitizes the effect on our bodies. It kind of just numbs us completely. When they drove the crown of thorns on his head, it was worse because it was a perfect head that had never even thought about sin. When his hands were nailed to the cross, they had never done anything wrong, handled anything shamefully or sinfully. When his feet was nailed, they had never done or gone anywhere they should have gone. When his heart was pierced by the spear, it was a pure heart that had never once been beat by the devil. You see, and Jesus knew the worst pain of all. You know what pain that was? Spiritual pain. And you and I experience that spiritual pain sometimes, don't we? We experience physical pain, emotional pain, and we experience spiritual pain. And Jesus, that was the worst pain of all for him. You know why? As his own father separated himself from his son on the cross, that is called spiritual pain. That hurts the heart. Forsaking him because of our sin was laid upon him. That is true death. I don't know any pain or any physical, emotional has brought you to that point in your life that you think you're going to die. That's how Jesus felt. Separation from God. It is what hell is in addition to literal fire, darkness, and torment. It's a separation from God, a spiritual pain that cannot be comprehended. You know, Jesus, Paul said, you know, I went up to the third heaven and I can't even comprehend. I can't even imagine. I can't even tell you what I experienced. And the same thing here. We can't even think about the pain. And then he talks about the fellowship. Now, get this. He's talking about the fellowship of his suffering. Joint participation. Paul said it was a privilege to know him and some of the small portion of what suffering is. Paul said, I'm just going through a small portion of what Jesus went through. But he said, I want to know so I can identify with Jesus as I go through it in life, so I can respond just like Jesus did, of giving up myself. Paul said, I'm so thankful I put all that rubbish and garbage and stuff behind me, and now I'm pressing on in these latter verses. But here we're dealing with two verses. I want to know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. See, Paul said it was a privilege to know some small portion of what suffering is for the appreciation it gave him to know his Savior more. You see, it's in Paul's suffering that he got to know Jesus more intimately. I was thinking about many songs that we sing. Fanny Crosby, she wrote probably over 8,000 different hymns and poetry in her life. And you know, she was blinded at an early age because of putting drops in her eyes that caused blindness. And her spiritual eyes were opened. And someone made a comment to her, I feel so sorry for you that you cannot see. And she said, if I had my request, I would request to be born blind so that I might know Jesus as my Savior even more intimately. That was her testimony. Because of the darkness of her physical suffering, in the furnace of the affliction, she was purified as gold. When we sung about the diamonds this morning, right? It was on the rack that God stretched her into the spiritual giant that she became. Because she had the mind and the focus as Paul. I want to know him. Blind, whatever physical condition I find myself in, Fanny Crosby said, I want to know him. And then one final thing here. Knowing him is purposeful. In verse 10, it says, being made conformable unto his death. Three things here, three questions plague the mind of mankind. Where did I come from? I'm often asked that question, and not only by children, but by adults. Why am I here? And where am I going? Well, I tell them where why they're here, and I also tell them they want to know where they're going. Right? You want to know where you're going after you leave here. You don't want to think so, maybe so, hope so. Talked to a man just here recently. And he was telling me his testimony and everything. And then he turned around and said, I hope one of these days that I'm going to heaven. You just said all of this and just said, now I hope I do. Well, you can know. 1 John chapter 5, verse 13 says, I can know. You can know that you have eternal life through Jesus Christ your Lord. It says we can know. See, this is a reason that people today are empty and lonely, and suicide is so high. And those who don't take their own lives wonder about, like, are walking around like spiritual death. Because they have no purpose in life. Don't understand why God put them here. And we see it every day. We hear about it every day. But this verse makes it clear what our purpose is. You know what our purpose is? It says death. And you say, well, wait a minute, Pastor Mike. Death? Well, death to self. Death to self. You want to know the resurrection power, as Paul, then there has to be death to self. Paul says in verse 21, to live is Christ and to die is gain. Now, why would he say that? To live is Christ, but to die is gain, knowing that his life would soon be coming to an end because he knew him intimately. And then 1 Corinthians 13:12 says, for now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall see even as I am also known. See what Paul was looking forward to? Verse 11, Christ's initial purpose for our lives is our death to self, but his ultimate purpose for us is our resurrection. Then we will know him as we are known as we know him intimately. See, do you know Christ about, do you know about Christ, or do you know him personally? And that's what Paul is saying. I want to know him. The power of his resurrection. So, we can know him. You can know him. Just as Paul says, if we're willing to give up self, to give up the things that seem to distract us, to take us away from our focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. A lot of things I shared with you this morning. A lot of things I'd like to share more about this passage of Scripture. And I want to encourage you to go home today or sometime this week and maybe use that as your devotion. Philippians chapter 3. I read that quite often just to remind me that I need to know Jesus Christ not only as my Savior, but as my Lord. To know him more intimately. To allow him to get into my life. And to wash me over with the Scripture, that I be purified, and so I would have a better understanding of the resurrection power and how it is offered to each one of us to live and lead us hand by hand every day of our life. So that's what he wants in our life today. Do you have that? Do you know that? Are you secure with that? If not, you can. Let us pray. Father God, we just praise you. We thank you for the power of your Holy Spirit. We thank you that you went to the cross. We thank you that you impacted lives like Paul. That when he wrote about it, it was so real. And it's real to us. But it became come more real as we apply it to our